Dr. Page, do you believe in unidentified flying objects?
There's no question that people see in the sky objects that they cannot identify. So the answer is yes. Unidentified flying objects are reported in large numbers by responsible and intelligent people in this country and in other countries of the world. Whether they are something from outside the Earth, extraterrestrial visitors, there I'm not so sure. In fact, I doubt it.
I imagine we ought to qualify our unidentified to unidentifiable. Now, do you believe in unidentifiable flying objects?
There are certainly a number of reports, perhaps 5% of the total. And by the way, the Air Force has recorded 11,000 reports in the United States alone in the last 10 or 20 years. There are some 5% of them which I admit I cannot identify, and other scientists have, if not impossible, at least very difficult.
Now, Dr. Page, what classifications would you say most of the explanations for unidentified flying objects come under?
Well, I suppose the most obvious to the public are frauds and misrepresentations. But this is a small fraction of the total. A good estimate is around 5% of pictures, for instance, which have been sent in. One published recently in the Hartford Courant turned out to be a fraud. The man who supplied it admitted under questioning that he'd falsified the picture. There are many objects seen in the sky, daytime and nighttime, sometimes bright lights at night, and sometimes peculiar looking objects in the day, which very likely are airplanes, balloons, perhaps artificial satellites, and perhaps normal astronomical bodies like bright stars or the planet Venus. Then there's a set of reports which have to do with peculiar effects on automobiles and other equipment. It might be called electrical effects. The ignition goes off or the lights of the car go off, and people have attributed this to passing flying saucers or UFOs. The weirdest of all the reports are involve actually seeing people who reportedly have got out of a flying saucer or take a witness aboard a flying saucer or talk to, communicate with various people in this country. And these, I must say, I tend to doubt, although fairly competent psychologists have investigated and found a number of cases where there should be no doubt.
Now, Dr. Page, what would you say are the most difficult unidentified flying objects to justify?
Well, the most difficult physical property is very sudden changes in motion or accelerations. This would be impossible for aircraft and space vehicles that we have knowledge of. The ones designed in this country, for instance, or ones that we know about that the Russians have designed, or the British, or the French. It's reported that some of these flying saucers make very sharp turns, or in a number of cases have been seen to take off from a spot on the road, someplace on the surface of the Earth, in a manner that is quite different from takeoffs of our own space vehicles that NASA has been working on. Of course, the people in favor of the flying saucers as extraterrestrial visitors claim that another civilization might know materials or have developed materials that are much stronger than the high tensile strength steels or titanium or other materials that we use in our spacecraft. I think this is probably the most difficult physical effect that is presented by the reports of flying saucers.
Do you have any area of doubt or open questions regarding any of the sightings so far?
Well, many. The difficulty is in lumping these all together. Each UFO, each report of a UFO is usually given by one or several people who are quite sure that they saw something out of the ordinary, and who object, of course, if you doubt their description. The descriptions vary all over the map, and you have to examine each report quite carefully to see where the reporter, the witness, might have been mistaken. Most obvious mistake is the distance of the object from him. And many UFOs have been thought to be very far away, say 4 or 5 miles, when actually they were something much closer. A good example I happen to have gone into in some detail was a report out in near Salt Lake City, where photographs were taken on a camera, movie camera, of UFOs gyrating around in the sky, and the man who took the photographs thought they were at least 50,000 feet altitude, airplanes making maneuvers that are quite impossible for American airplanes anyway. And it turned out later that these were seagulls much closer to him than the airplanes that he thought they were. This is typical of the mistake in distance that I think characterizes many UFO reports.
Now, Dr. Page, let's go into the other area of the possibility of life in other worlds. What is your position?
Well, the astronomers have recently developed a fairly complete theory of how stars are formed. And it turns out from this that many stars should have planets. And if there are planets going around other stars, the argument is there would be a chance of life developing as it has here on the Earth. Simultaneously, the biologists have a fairly complete theory now of how living material, organic matter, was first put together on the Earth. Perhaps the most dramatic breakthrough on this was the formation of amino acids by electrical discharges in gases, an experiment performed by Miller at the University of Chicago some years ago. And the idea is that in the atmosphere of the Earth, lightning and perhaps meteors that heated up the air was quite different from what it is today, produced the living material from which the first living forms evolved. Now, the argument is that the same thing could happen on any planet which would be about like the Earth is, a distance from a star, so the temperature is about right, and there's water, and there's carbon and other materials that form living material. The number of stars is so tremendous in the region that we can see easily with telescopes from the Earth that even if only, I guess a good guess would be half of them would have planets, and even if only a hundredth of 1% had the conditions for life to form, there'd almost certainly be other living organisms in the universe. And some of these other living organisms might have developed like we do, with hands and feet and eyes, and able to build radios and space probes and so on. So the argument goes that these civilizations which have grown elsewhere might be trying to get in touch with us. The only difficulty is that just why would they have picked out little old Earth going around our sun to come to? There are lots of other stars, and they may have ways of detecting us that we don't know, but the most obvious one is through radio. Radios have been developed on the Earth since roughly 1900, and It means that radio waves that have been broadcast here have got something like 67, 68 light years away from the Earth. Well, there are an awful lot of stars within 68 light years from the Earth. So this is one argument against cultures on planets near other stars trying to get in touch with us on the Earth.
Well, do you think the time will ever come when Earthmen will be able to establish contact with other intelligent beings, or vice versa?
Well, of course, a lot of astronomers and other scientists hope so. And in connection with these UFOs, Professor MacDonald at the University of Arizona thinks that a great deal of effort should be spent on examining UFO reports just because of this possibility. The possibility that unidentified flying objects are actually extraterrestrial visitors. I think many astronomers felt that there was a possibility of life on other planets in the solar system until recent measurements showed that Mars is very dry and unlikely to support life. Venus is very hot and therefore unlikely to support life. And the other planets seem to be out of the question. So you might say one hope that there was life on other astronomical bodies fairly nearby has disappeared during the past 5 or 10 years. Now, getting in touch with life on planets going around other stars is a horse of another color. It's a long way to the nearest star, 4 or 5 light years. And to go that far at ordinary rocket speeds would take more than a man's lifetime. So we have to develop a number of technical gadgets before exploration of planets around other stars is possible. Going there physically, therefore, seems to me quite improbable, during my lifetime anyway, and probably for the next century or so. But communication with them by radio is possible. Again, you have to wait a long time for your radio waves to get there, and similarly, their radio waves answering would take an equal time to get back. So again, the time involved is going to be long. We might find messages have been broadcast that we are receiving now, and radio astronomers, the people with big radio telescopes, are on the lookout for just such signals. There was a scare just last week or 2 weeks ago. The British thought they'd found signals coming from a star in our Milky Way, and well, it's since turned out that there are 3 or 4 other stars like this, and instead of signals from people or some civilization near those stars, I think it's pretty clear now that this is some new kind of a star that broadcasts radio beeps in a way that was that first looked like it was people involved.
Thank you very much, Dr. Thornton Page. From the campus of Wesleyan University, this is Joel Alderman for the VOA, Middletown, Connecticut.